is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New World Report with Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She is in Cartagena, which Maria tells me is the most beautiful city in the Caribbean, enjoying the views of the ocean, to talk about the views of all of the Americas, the New World, but especially Latin America. And Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society, he's in the Washington area. We begin with an ongoing crisis in Peru. You will recall that Peru was badly damaged by the virus in 2020. The virus has not left Latin America. The vaccination rate is very low in Latin America, and that is bad planning, bad production, and also the fact that Latin America is now moving into winter time, winter coming on, which is the rough period for any temperate zone because of the variants of the virus. However, Peru's following its bad time with the virus in 2020 with a series of challenges to the leadership. And right now, the challenge is not ended with the presidential election. Two candidates representing different parts of Peru's president past contested right up to the end. It was a close election, so close it's not resolved. And I come to you, Joseph, to tell us where we are now, days after the vote, and the challenges, and what is to be done, who can resolve this conflict. Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. Well, we are 2 weeks out from the Peruvian election, and there still isn't a official winner. The votes have been tallied and counted, and Pedro Castillo has a very, very slight margin over Keiko Fujimori. We're talking about a difference of around 44,000 votes. But there is more than 250,000 votes that Keiko Fujimori has challenged. Now, that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting to see what the Peruvian electoral officials are going to resolve of these 250,000 votes that are being challenged. They've already started denying some of those challenges, saying that that the votes were fine. But it's a small fraction of those 250,000, so we have to wait. The problem, John, is that the Peruvian part of the Peruvian public, and I think a part of the Peruvian media, is becoming impatient. And we've seen increasing protests on both sides. Over this weekend, we had pro-Castillo protests, people that were mostly from the south of the country, of south of Peru, that came to the capital, Lima, and protested, actually holding machetes with a little bit of a threatening image. And then you had Keiko Fujimori supporters or others that are just trying to uphold the democracy in Peru that are protesting also in Lima and other parts of the country. What I'm most concerned about, John, is that the Peruvian public, the Peruvian society, is going to lose patience waiting for these results. And regardless of who wins, one side is going to get provoked by the other side. We're already starting to see signs of that. Over the last week, there was these very suspicious audios that were released about these militants in southern Peru who essentially were threatening that if Keiko Fujimori were to win, that they were going to ensue violence upon the country. Now, what kind of message does that really give beyond the obvious threat? It gives a very subtle warning to the Peruvian armed forces, who I think are also very apprehensive right now because they're thinking that if this is going to get violent, they're going to have to react. And so what I'm worried about is I'm worried about a potential conflict where we're going to have the Peruvian military against the Peruvian social movements, and that would just extend the tension and the uncertainty as to who's going to be Peru's next leader. So hoping that the tribunal is going to be able, the electoral authorities are going to be able to resolve this in the next week or so, but I still think we have to be patient. We have to really wait for them to do their job and to resolve it. I mean, there's a really, really small difference between the two.
Maria, I know all of Latin America is watching this because these two sides, Fujimori and Castillo, represent other voices throughout Latin America. What does this election, the resolution of this election, mean to Colombia and to Latin America if Castillo wins or Fujimori wins? Does it represent more than just the immediate Peru?
John, in fact, I have been denouncing fraud because our team, nationally and internationally, are aware that the hands of Foro de Sao Paulo are inside of what happened in this election. They use the same bad practices that they learned in Venezuela promoted by Cubans. And they did the same in Bolivian elections. They take out, they overcome all the sumatory of the votes in every single table where there is any witness of the opposite party. So when these papers were demanded by Keiko and her team, you could see how the signatures are different from the originally witnessed from the tables. So the fraud is proven. It's there. You cannot have different signatures from the people who has to give faith on what the election was. This is one. And the second one is that they change the numbers. And you find tables, electoral tables, where Keiko had zero votes. That's not probable in any statistics, in any way. So they do it, especially in rural areas, where Keiko didn't have people to witness what was happening. That's first. Second, all the presidents from Foro de Sao Paulo and former presidents, they just announced Castillo as the winner. These, all these together help pressing and changing the perception of people internationally and inside. So this could develop in violence, maybe a civil war, but what we are watching is the same practices. Many peasants, you know, moving from the mountains, but staying in five-star hotel. Who is paying for it? It has the same guy that they did it in the U.S., the same guy that they did it in Chile, and what is happening in Colombia. If Castillo is claimed as the winner, Latin America is in extreme serious danger. And remember that Colombia is having elections on March for Congress and in May for presidents.
Joseph, I read from Reuters, a group of retired officers has suggested Peru's military should refuse to recognize socialist candidate Pedro Castillo if he is declared winner of the country's election. Interim President Francisco Sagasti confirmed the letter which he received from these retired officers, which was posted on Twitter and Facebook, that it arrived at the general headquarters of the armed forces bearing the names of at least 80 retired military personnel. Please interpret this, Joseph. Is this ordinary post-election rhetoric, or is there something strange here?
No, John, this is exactly what I'm concerned about, because I believe that the armed forces are actually getting gaslighted by these militant Peruvian separatists in the southern part of the country who are essentially trying to provoke the armed forces to overreact and to do some type of action that they're going to later try to use a false narrative of victimization and also of Keiko Fujimori, the dictator. That's what they're trying to push for. To what Senator Cabal was saying, I think it's interesting that we have to take a look at these claims of fraud by Keiko Fujimori, because there is some precedent for that. The southern militant movements in Peru have a very close relationship with the Evo Morales, the former Evo Morales regime in Bolivia. And the last major election fraud that took place in Latin America that was proven and that was validated by the Organization of American States was the Bolivian 2019 election. So we have to look at the similarities between the fraud that took place in October, November 2019 in Bolivia and then see some of the potential similarities of electoral fraud or claims of electoral fraud that could be taking place in Peru currently. And so Evo Morales and those southern movements in Peru are very much a major player in a lot of what's going on currently in the country. And part of what they want is not even just to resolve the election. Part of what they want is to start a civil war inside Peru by provoking the armed forces to take to the streets.
Well, the armed forces have the weapons, right, Joseph? Do Castillo forces have weapons? I'm unfamiliar with that.
Well, obviously, they don't have the level of weapons that the armed forces are going to have in terms of their combined arms. But yes, they'll have smaller weapons. They'll have small arms. They'll have, you know, machetes and things. They have enough to cause violence. They obviously aren't going to win any kind of kinetic conflict against the armed forces. But all they're trying to do is provoke the armed forces, because where they really gain their ground and where they really gain an advantage is in amplifying the disinformation, similar to what we saw in Colombia, similar to what we've seen in Chile and other places. They do enough to provoke the violence, and then they run around the international community denouncing the violence and saying that they're the victims, when in reality they're the ones that provoke the violence in the first place.
So what you see is the same playbook that we've seen in Colombia, in Venezuela once upon a time, is same playbook. They don't need to change it because they know it will work.
Correct. And we're seeing it potentially play out in Peru. Thankfully right now, it hasn't played out yet. The military has been patient. The people have still been patient. But every day that goes by, it's getting more tense down in Peru.
I'm speaking with Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She is in Cartagena. When we come back, we're going to a report of a bombing last week against the Colombian military. Who did it and who is saying they didn't do it? And what does it mean for the stability of Colombia, rocked these months by outside agitators? This is the New World Report. This is CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor.